How is everyone? I'm hearing from behind me. I'm not hearing a thing from in front of me. I hope you had a good Christmas, had a chance to visit with family. I know there are family members that are here with us today, so we extend a special welcome to you as well as to all of our people that came to worship today. There's a pew pad there at the end of the pew. If you don't mind, whoever is sitting beside that, pick that up and kind of pass it down and kind of sign and check the appropriate boxes. That way we'll know that you've been with us. Also, if you're a guest, if you could put your contact information there, we'll be glad to be in touch with you. We will not stalk you, but we will provide whatever information that you would like to, or any questions that you may have in regard to the ministries here at College Park. Jeff is out of town and joined a few days of vacation and regrouping, getting ready for school to start again. Because it is the Christmas break for the schools, we will have no Wednesday night activities here this week. And I want to remind you that the church office will be closed on Friday for New Year's Day. Not that I thought you would come by on New Year's Day, but just so you'll know, if you need anything from Grace or any of us prior to that day, you can plan ahead and talk with us Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. Are there any other announcements? Krista, do you have any? Okay, she started to get up and said, no, not at this time. All right, stay tuned. She says she has some later. So, you have any announcements? I think that's it. I think we're ready to worship. But before we begin, we want to greet a special greeting to those who are guests with us. Our ushers are going to be here at the front, and they are going to return back down the aisle. And as they return down the aisle, if you are a guest with us for the first time, we don't want to embarrass you, but if you would just kind of slip your hand or kind of catch their eye and nod or whatever is necessary to get their attention to receive a visitor's packet. There's some good information about the ministries and mission to College Park Baptist Church in there, as well as a copy of our latest monthly highlights, which you'll be able to read and find out more about us. We're delighted that you're here with us today. I invite you now to join with us as we begin in a time of worship.
Chelsea, 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 Chelsea. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, it is good to be in this place today, Lord, to celebrate together the birth of your Son, Lord, who gave up all of heaven to come and to dwell among us. Lord, to suffer the things that we suffer, to experience the things that we experience, and then, Lord, to cast aside all kingship and to be nailed to a cross. Lord, we come to celebrate this morning not just his birth, Lord, but his rising. And Lord, as we are in this place this morning, we thank you for the love that would send a son. And Lord, we praise you for the goodness, Lord, for your righteousness and your holiness. Lord, we come this morning with joy at the gift that you had given and the many other gifts that you have given. And so, Lord, even now, fill our hearts. Help us to celebrate this morning. Lord, help us to sing with joy. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you will look in your bulletins this morning, you will find a call to praise. I'm going to read the light print. If you will read with me the dark print. O Emmanuel, O wisdom from on high, O Lord of might, O branch of Jesse's stem, O key of David, O bright and morning star, O King of nations, we rejoice and are glad on this bright morning, for truly you have come, full of grace and truth. Even now, come into our hearts again. Show us the path of knowledge. Comfort us in our mourning. Save us from our sin. Open wide our way to heaven. Turn our darkness into light. End our sad divisions and be our King of peace, so that every creature in heaven and earth will join in a chorus of praise and shout with joy to you, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you. call the children to come up and join us, please? I'm so glad you're here. Here comes Amen. How are you? Glad you're here, Whit. Did you guys have a good Christmas?
Yes.
Me too. Do you love Christmas?
Yes.
I love Christmas.
Jesus, it's Jesus'
birthday. Oh, man, you are so right. That's what makes me so excited. Oh, hey, Rebecca. Glad you're here. You know, God loves us so much that he sent his only son here for us. And do you know, where was Jesus born?
In a manger.
Wouldn't you think the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, God's only son, would be in some big fancy palace with a golden bed, with all these servants to take care of him? But he didn't come to be served, did he? He came to serve us because he loved us so much. And from the time he was little bitty, just like you guys, do you know he followed God's plan for him? And the Bible tells us in Luke, it says Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. And that means he got wiser with his brain and he grew bigger with his body. And he was doing things that pleased God and made people happy. And you know, Pastor Raymond's going to tell us today about another little boy named Samuel who was born way before Jesus. And he dedicated his whole life to serving God, just like Jesus did. And do you know what the Bible says about him?
Yes.
What?
They followed the star because they sleep, there's no room for Mary and Joseph.
You are so right. They did follow the star. And you know what? Samuel followed what God wanted him to do too. He did. And in 1 Samuel, it tells us that Samuel grew in favor with God and with men because he followed God's plan for him. And he wanted to serve others. So I want to serve others too, don't you? Don't you want to grow in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men? So we're going to practice, okay? I'm going to serve Rebecca something. And then Rebecca's going to serve Whit, and Whit, you're going to serve Warner, and Warner, you're going to serve Jackson. And you guys go all the way down. And Dylan, when you get the bag, will you give it back to me? You're going to serve me. And then we're going to see what we get by serving each other. Okay, you ready? Okay, here we go. Okay, Rebecca, pick two. Good job. Pick. Oh, and you serve Whit. With the bag. I'm sorry, I didn't give you good instructions, did I? Okay, there you go. Pick two, and then you pass it on. Don't tell me what's inside yet, okay? You pick two, good job. Can you pass it to Jackson? Thank you. There we go. You pick two. You can keep it. And you pass it down. It's okay. It's all right. Hunter, will you pass me the bag? Thank you. Did you get two? Look inside. What's in there? What's it say, Whit?
Joy.
It says joy. Say it louder. What did you get? Joy. We get joy by serving each other. And when we serve others, we're serving God, aren't we? And
yes.
Do you have to be a grown-up to serve others?
Yeah.
No, you don't. You guys can serve others too, just like Samuel did, and then like Jesus did, and now it's our turn to be Jesus' hands and feet. And we can serve others, can't we? So I gave you two. So later, will you give one to somebody you love and tell them you love them? And you know what? We don't serve others by giving them candy. We serve others by using words that build them up and doing kind things, right? That's what God created us to do. So will you guys bow your heads? Let's say a prayer, okay? You bow your heads for me? Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us so much that you sent your Son. Help us to be his hands and feet. Help us to be your servants by serving others. And then we'll bring them joy. It'll bring joy in our lives, and it'll bring joy and honor to you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys for being such good listeners. You can go back to your seats, okay?
You know, every Sunday we get a chance to be taught by the children, don't we? We look forward to that also. They truly lead the way in many ways, spiritually. Our scripture passage today comes from Titus, a small book in the New Testament, and I'll be reading from Titus 2, 11 through 14, and 3, 4 through 7, if you'd like to follow along. Hear these good words. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for his good deeds. And then moving on down to chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing, regeneration, and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. May God add his blessing to the reading of his precious word.
Sweet little Jesus boy, they made you be born in a manger. Sweet little holy child, didn't know who you was, didn't know you'd come to save us, Lord, to take our sins away. Long time ago, so
we didn't know who you are.
Amen. Thank you, Mary. Please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we most humbly come before your throne and thank you that we can talk to the great creator of the universe. We come today to thank you for the celebration of the birth of your Son and all that it has entailed for us this season, being with friends and family and good food and beautiful music and the colors and the smells of Christmas. We thank you, Lord. But most of all, we thank you for the great gift that rests inside of our hearts, the presence of Jesus Christ, because you sent him as a baby to a humble couple. You placed him in our care. You trusted him into the care of human beings. And, oh, Father, we're thankful for those humans that took care of him along the way so that he could live and then face the horrible sacrifice of paying for our sins. Father, we travel with him on that journey. We see his suffering in our mind's eye. But then we also remember the tomb, remember the darkness that was there for him, and then the glorious resurrection. For we know the end of the story, and we know because you sent your Son as a baby, because of the earthly journey that he had, which resulted in our eternal life, in our forgiveness, in our abundant life on earth, because he lives and sits by your right hand even now, praying for us, we thank you for our Savior. We thank you that he lives. We thank you for every angle of the love, the grace, the peace, the mercy that is ours through the giving of your Son. So, Father, we pray that you would fill our hearts today with the fullest realization that we can possibly stand of the hope that is ours in this dark world and of the peace that is ours in a world that is torn by violence and of the love that is ours that makes us whole. Thank you, O dear Heavenly Father. In thy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for the incredible love you showed us in sending your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the gift of worship. We thank you for your word that guides us and for the beautiful music that inspires us. We thank you that we can serve you with the abilities you have given us. And we thank you for the opportunities that we will have this coming week to do that. We pray that you will use these gifts that are given today to share your love with others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Sit down and try to figure out the Revised Common Lectionary and I think I just hit that by mistake. Sorry about that. If you try to figure those lectionaries out, good luck with it, because they kind of jump around a little bit. There is a systematic study of Scripture that we follow or try to follow. But an interesting thing happened right before Advent. Sunday, November 15th, we talked about Samuel. Do you remember that? Oh, that's depressing. I'm a failure. Do you remember? Okay, the choir remembers. But anyway, we talked about Samuel, and then we kind of got into the Advent season, and we're talking about Christ coming, and rightly so. That's the time of year. We should talk about it amongst other times of the year. But then, interesting thing, this week we go back to the story of Samuel, and there's a specific reason. At first read, you go, well, why do they go back now? There is a reason, as Ms. Leanne has already alluded to. But when I knew in November that we were going to be coming back to it. So I kind of set us up for the story today. And in doing so, I found preparing for today's sermon, I ended up going back to a lot of old seminary notes. That was kind of an interesting deal to go back and read some of the things I'd studied in the seminary. And I read some from Pastor Paul Simmons, and as well as the Interpreter's Dictionary of the Bible. And there's a lot to be learned from the life of Samuel. And I want to read to you our lectionary passage. It comes from 1 Samuel chapter 2. It says, "But Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. Each year his mother made him a little robe and took it to him when she went up with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice. Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife, saying, 'May the Lord give you children by this woman to take the place of the one that she prayed for and gave to the Lord.' Then they would go home." Verse 26 comes back and says, "And the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with men." She gave her boy back to the Lord. To what extent do we give our children away? When Carson and Ashton were born, Sondra and I made conscious decisions and prayed specifically a prayer to give our children back to God, and in doing so, thanked Him for the privilege of giving us a part in helping to raise them to glorify Him. In a sense, that is a very freeing prayer. It helps us to remember that children are indeed a gift from God, and ultimately they belong to Him. That gives us a little bit of freedom in knowing it's not all on us. We don't have to do it all. With God's help and with God's strength, with the community of believers, we're going to try our best to raise our children in a way that gives glory to God. But you know, there's other ways that we give our children away too. There's other ways we do that. In a sense, today we have, you know, we have care providers. We give them away to coaches to an extent. We give them away to teachers to an extent, but a word, your teachers are not parents. I say that on behalf of all teachers everywhere. Teachers are not parents. They should not be held responsible for parenting your child. But they, in a sense, are helpers. They are helpers in helping with our children. And we even give our children away to church and to church leaders and children's leaders. To an extent, we kind of do that. And so here we are in our text today. We have Samuel. We have the boy Samuel who had been given away, who had been given back to God. Now, how did all this transpire? If you go back and read in 1 Samuel verse 128, you hear Hannah, his mother, say, "So now I give him to the Lord, for his whole life will be given over to the Lord." As you recall, this was a deal that she had struck with God. And you say, does God make deals? Well, I don't know that He makes deals, but I think in Hannah's mind she was making a deal with God. She was so desperate to have a son that she made a deal in her mind, and she said, "God, if you'll give me a son, I will give him back to you so that he can serve in the temple all his hours, all the days of his life." As you remember the story from back November 15th, Hannah, his mother, was one of Elkanah's two wives. The other wife, Peninnah, was fertile, and she was a real piece of work. Yeah, that's the nicest way to put it. She was fertile, and she knew Hannah wasn't, and so she just constantly just kind of rubbed that in Hannah's face. And it broke, literally, Hannah's heart. She was in misery, and that led to her crying out in desperation before the Lord. And God honored her cries. God honored her prayers. God honored the deal, if you will. And she indeed did bear a son, and she kept up her end of the bargain as she had cast it, and she gave Samuel to Eli to serve in the temple in Shiloh. And you say, Raymond, what about Jerusalem? Well, for you history buffs, you'll know that Jerusalem would not be the seat of the temple and the priesthood for another 100, 150 years from when this story is taking place. So there in Shiloh, this was the big deal. This was the main deal. In this temple in Shiloh, under Eli's teaching, Samuel grew in stature and in favor with the Lord. Does this story remind you of any others? If you go back and read in the Old Testament, how about the story of Sarah, Hagar? You remember that one? We find some themes, we find some reoccurring events in Scripture. You know, and if we read a little bit more at the beginning of chapter 2, which we read from this morning, Hannah's long prayer of praise, this long prayer of praise and exaltation reminded me a whole lot of another prayer of exaltation, Mary. Do you remember Mary's offering herself in just praise and joy to God at the news that she was going to have a son? He was going to be God's son. This outpouring of emotion and joy. You see, at the very least, the Hebrew Scriptures, reading here about Samuel at home and in the temple, reminds us about the gospel story. The gospel story of Jesus serving, as it's recorded in Luke. So Jesus was very much at home in the temple, going about his Father's work, just as Samuel was very much at home in the temple, going about the Lord's work. So you begin to see these kind of a cycle, but if you just say it's a recurring theme, then we begin to think of God's Word as just another piece of literature, which it's not. It is literature, obviously, but this is not just another reoccurring theme. It is the revelation of God through His people. It is a call. It is a call to us. It is a call to us to act upon God's call upon our life. So the temple stories of Samuel in Shiloh and Jesus in Jerusalem call you, they call me, they call anyone who will dare to let these stories become real in their own hearts, real in their own minds, to live them out. God acted. God is a God of action. And He acted and placed Samuel in the temple. God acted again, this time cosmically, more profound, with Jesus, His Son, in the temple. 1 Samuel 1:26, let me read it to you again. And the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and favor with the Lord and with men. Now, is it purely coincidental that Luke chooses to write in Luke 2:52, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man? Is that coincidental? Choir, is it coincidental? No. Choir says no. It's not coincidental. I don't believe in coincidence. Let's take it a step further. Can it happen again? Is God finished calling people to service? Couldn't there be a third happening or a fourth happening or a fifth happening of people being called to minister? Certainly. And what if we're the ones that are giving ourselves to God? What if we are actively in the process of giving ourselves back to God daily? What if our conversion experience comes to life and begins to bear fruit and makes us successors to Jesus, who in a sense was kind of a successor to Samuel? What if we are the presence, the manifestation, the body of Christ for here and now, for these days, for this kairos, to use the Greek, and for this fullness of time, the last two centuries or so, right up to now? We know that Samuel grew in stature in order to serve and to minister. We know that Jesus grew in stature in order to serve and to minister, to the point of sacrificing Himself on the cross. So are we Christians, the third event, supposed to be growing today? Certainly. Certainly so. When we were children, we drank milk, a simple food that fit where we were in our development physically. as young believers, we were taught simple gospel truths about who Jesus is. As we grow, we begin to take on more complex foods, which feed the energy that we're growing more and more and getting stronger and stronger. Just as in God's Word, we need to dig deeper and deeper as we grow so that we can become stronger and stronger in God's Word and in God's work. Samuel grew. Jesus grew. We need to grow. And we ask ourselves, are we the next, are we the current generation who are following Jesus, who followed Samuel? I hope so. I pray to God every day that we as believers will continue to grow. Yes, yes. In God's transforming love and resurrection power, yes, we should be growing. According to Colossians chapter 3, which is also one of our lectionary texts, we laughed about it in 9 o'clock service. There's a lot of times where the supplemental lectionary texts don't line up with one another thematically. You know, so as we're planning in worship, we say, okay, I'm going to be preaching from the gospel account. Let's look at the epistle to see if we want to read that in service. And we read it and we scratch our head and go, what? I mean, that doesn't have anything. but this week, it was a good week. They lined up, you know, Colossians chapter 3, here it is. Verse 12 through 17, it talks about the fact that we are God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothing ourselves with compassion and kindness, humility, meekness, patience, forgiving one another, clothing ourselves again with love, which binds us together. And we are to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. And there's this phrase here, this call to ministry, a call to life of servanthood. It said, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. Richly. Not the frosting on the cake, but meat on a bone, okay? This is the main course. It's not the dessert. The word of God should dwell in us richly. What does that look like? Well, it's only been 2 days since Christmas. We're all probably had a Christmas feast that still dwells in us richly, doesn't it? You know, we have leftover turkey sandwiches. We have leftover mashed potatoes and gravy and dressing. Dressing goes first at our house. There's no leftovers there. And cranberries all dwelling richly in our refrigerator, in our appetites, and in our waistlines, right? So we have been feasting and dwelling richly in the Christmas story. We've dwelled richly in Christmas services that have been led by our children, by our sanctuary choir, by the channels last week. We've been dwelling richly in the parties and the family gatherings all for the last 4 weeks or so. So does the Word of God then dwell richly in us the other 48 weeks of the year? Well, you say, well, yeah, there's Holy Week. Okay, so we're down to 47. You know, does the Word of God dwell richly in us for those other 47 weeks? Christmas music is gone from the media. We sang it this morning. But it's gone from the media. It's gone from the stores. It's gone from the elevators. The cheeriness is fading if you go through there all tearing down all the Christmas decorations. Christmas items have been marked down to 50%. They'll be down to 75% by midweek for those of you who want to shop ahead for next year. You know, and now everything is about New Year's Eve, and after New Year's Eve, the world will move on to Valentine's Day, and probably about the same time they're marking down Valentine's Day stuff, you'll see what appear. Easter items, yes, all the Easter bunny and all the candy will come out. And you say, how can the Word of God possibly dwell richly in me when I have all these distractions? It's not dependent upon your circumstance. It's dependent upon your relationship with Jesus Christ. Let the Word of Christ, let God's Word dwell richly within us. You see, the challenge now is not to try to feel guilty about the remaining 47 weeks that aren't Christmas and Easter every day. You know, we don't feel guilt about the fact that we're not singing Christmas carols. That doesn't make any sense at all. We don't feel guilt about that any more than we should feel guilty about some of the other things that we put ourselves on guilt trips about. There's no guilt here. It's all about letting God's Word dwell richly within you, starting each day with a fresh word from God, to feel called to do something, to be something for the kingdom of God. The challenge, the call, should be to discern our time and our place to minister each day if possible. Lord, give me someone to bless today. If that is your prayer at the beginning of the day, it will be your focus during the day. God, let me be a minister today. Put someone in my path. Where and for whom can we be like Samuel? Can we be like Jesus, ministering to God and to God's people? And as we journey this, and as you step out into to actively ministering to people, hear the word of the angels, hear the word of God through His messengers. Every time He appears to us, He says, fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Trust that God is with you. The dwelling richly part. Find a friend. Clothed in compassion and kindness and humility and meekness and patience. And then approach that friend, approach that person God puts in your path with the words of 1 Samuel 3:10, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening, and then be obedient. Speak, Lord. Okay, I got it. Minister. You say to God the same words that you read in Scripture. The words of Mary in Luke 1:38, here I am. Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Here I am. Father, use me. Once upon a time, for many of us, our parents gave us back to God. Maybe shortly after your birth, or perhaps multiple times in your life, including your teenage years, when they didn't have any idea what to do with you. God, they're yours. Fix it. I've got nothing. I've got nothing left. God, they're yours. What do I do? And we laugh about it, but, you know, our parents gave us to God. You gave your children to God. And yet, you got to keep them. You give them away, but yet you get to keep them. So now is your chance to do it again. Just like every morning of your life, give yourself away to God. And he lets you keep yourself. He prepares you for that day. He gives you the joy in your heart when you say, Lord, here I am, your servant. Let it be with me according to your word. Let's pray and ask for his help. Gracious Father, we see the example of Samuel and we're inspired. And we see the example of Jesus and we're humbled. And we say, we could never do that. We're just not capable, and we're right. We're not capable in and of our own power, so we need you. We need you to dwell in our hearts richly so that we can see what you prepare for us, the places of service that you put in our path, the people that we just need to be quiet sometimes and listen to and allow them to have a listening ear, a compassionate heart to speak to. God, we pray that even beginning in this moment, that if we haven't given ourselves back to you up to now, that we would do so in this moment. Give ourselves completely to you. Say, Lord, here I am. I'm your servant. Dwell richly. Have your word dwell richly in me. For it's in the name of your precious Son that we pray. Amen. If you are not a believer, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ for the first time, we're going to stand and sing in just a moment. I invite you. I implore you. I don't know. I can't convince you. That's the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, drawing you to God. But act upon it. Share it with these people today so that they can pray for you. Encourage you in your relationship with Christ. If you are a believer and you say, Raymond, I'm really, maybe I've checked out. Maybe I think God's through with me or maybe I'm just ignoring his call on my life. This is your day to kind of put that right. pray that prayer, God, use me. Use me. I'm making you the most important thing in my life today. You can pray that right where you are. The altar will be open here. What if you'd like to speak with me, I'll be glad to speak with you and pray with you, whatever. But settle it with God this morning. Go out of here knowing that God is going to dwell in you more richly every single day. If you're here and you'd like to be a member at College Park, there's a lot of ways we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you about that as well. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. Remind you, our friend and brother in Christ, Chuck Barbie, got to spend Christmas Day with Jesus this year. He went on earlier in the week to his reward, and we are going to have a service to celebrate his life today. The service will be at 2:30 here in the sanctuary. Visitation will be at 1 o'clock in Smith Hall. So if you're able to come and to speak with the family and be a part of that service of celebration, we invite you. 1 o'clock visitation, 2:30 service here in the sanctuary. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you. Thank you for the chance to be your people. Father, to serve you in a way that gives glory to you. Father, to love you so that others can know the source of true love. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.